In your Bibles tonight, the book of Ezekiel in chapter 14, last week we started the thought, the purpose of God's punishment. He outlined and basically said in the verses preceding verse 11 that that's what was going to happen. Every elder, every prophet, every man who had set up idols in his heart, put the stumbling block of iniquity before their face, and sought coming into the prophet. What a hypocritical thought, we would think. Naturally so. But as we've seen in the study, we're just that hypocritical ourselves, aren't we? Many times having set up idols in our hearts, putting the stumbling block of iniquity before our face, coming into the house of the Lord under the pretense of desiring to worship the Lord, and thinking that our worship is going to be acceptable by Him. It tells us in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 29. Tells us to come into the house of the Lord. Come bring our tithes and an offering to the Lord. It said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You see, the Lord God desires that His people be a holy people, set apart unto Him, walking in paths of righteousness. And our worship is only acceptable, is only beautiful, as we are manifesting lives that are righteous and holy, unto holiness before Him. They said, these elders, these prophets, these, and the people would be punished. Verse 11, and this is the reason. He says that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. So last week we saw that the immediate intended remedy of God's punishment upon these people was that error would be corrected and that the actions of transgressors might be reformed, that they might be turned. This week we want to consider, under this thought, the purpose of God's punishment, the second point, and that is the ultimate and positive purpose of it. The ultimate and positive purpose of it. He said in the last part of verse 11, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord. There's the ultimate end of it. There's the positive purpose. God wants a people for himself. But he wants them to honor and to glorify him. He wants them to be holy. I don't know how many times in the book of Leviticus he tells them, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, the Lord thy God is holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Peter quotes from the book of Leviticus. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 9. The book of Romans, chapter 9, and look with me at verse 20. Well, actually, I want to back up a little bit. Let's go up to verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Pharaoh, wicked. This guy didn't know God, didn't know who the God of Israel was. A wicked man. But God raised him up. Why? So that his power might be realized in him. And his name might be declared throughout all the earth. And as we look at it, we look at the response and we look at the record even today. Isn't the name of our God magnified, glorified? In the example of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, letting the people of Israel go and then decide, no, we don't want to do that. Fleeing after them. Then God destroys Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the waters of the Red Sea. What a magnificent display of the power and might of God. The children of Israel, God parted the waters. They went across on dry ground. But the Egyptian, the same to do the same, the waters closed in on them and destroyed them. Of course, then we know in the 15th chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel sing that glorious song of deliverance. How that God had delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. Now verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Is that not his right to make one all glorious and then to make one all disfigured as he pleases? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And he was willing to do that. He shows his wrath and he makes his power known and he endures with much long suffering the vessels that are fitted for wrath. He's enduring them this very day. Why is he enduring them this very day? that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. But when that is done, when that last vessel of mercy has been brought in, then his wrath will cease to wait any longer. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Why? It's for his honor, for his glory, it's for his purpose. And he's going to get the glory out of it all. You see. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. And verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. After telling us that we ought not to be joined unto a harlot, we ought not to be fornicators, for our body, he said, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why is it the temple of the Holy Ghost? Because he indwells us. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, he wants you and I, as his children, to glorify him in our life. That's what the context of this chapter is talking about. It's talking about with our bodies. Our walk. The life which we live. Glorifying God. Not glorifying Seth Bourne. Not glorifying Mike. But glorifying God. Turn with me. Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Verse 12. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have been predestinated. We have been predetermined according to his purpose unto salvation, to be heirs, to have an inheritance undefiled and uncorruptible. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. There it is. We're predestinated to be to the praise of his glory. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's the responsibility of every child of God. And particularly church members. Turn with me back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Blessed passage of Scripture, we love it. Notice the glory being given unto the God-man Jesus Christ, one who is worthy. Verse 9 says, And they sung a new song. Have it. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Here all the elect of God, saved of God, that are in heaven at this time are praising God and saying, Thou art worthy because you have redeemed us to God. But not only are they praising His name, look at this, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. How many is that? That's 100 million. And thousands of thousands. Well, 100 million, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million, times 1,000 is 100 billion, times 1,000 is 100 trillion. But you know what? It didn't say 10,000, 10,000s. It said thousands and thousands. So, how many thousands do you multiply that 100 million by? Just 1,000 each time, you end up with 100 trillion. You see? Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Yeah, it's not just the saved, it's not just the saints that are in heaven that are praising Him, but all creatures are praising Him. Even the angels are praising Him. We were created to bring honor and glory unto Him, praise unto Him. He said in our text, Ezekiel 14 and verse 11, that they may be my people. That they may be my people. Let me get back there to the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 14. They may be my people. You see, that's not a name only. But that's a reality. As they live, as he, you see, he wants the people to his people not to stray any longer from him. He wants his people to not be polluted with the idols and walking in those ways that are transgressing him. He wants a people that is holy unto him. That's the purpose of his punishment. That's the purpose of his judgment upon that they might be this kind of people that go no more astray, that no more pollute themselves with idols, but they honor and glorify the Lord God and serve him in the beauty of holiness. His First Chronicles 16 verse 29 told us. He says, And I may be their God. I thought about that. I thought, you see, they'll be my people. They'll go no longer astray. They'll no longer pollute themselves with idols. I will be their God. Not Baal. Not Moses. Not all these other gods. Not the sun, moon, stars. Not the constellations. Not the trees. Not the animals. But God will be their God. What a thought. And I may be their God. That is, that they would acknowledge Him. They would acknowledge Him with sincere reverence. They would love Him with devotion, with fervor, diligently, and faithfully. The command we have given in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Not a one of us can say that we love Him in that manner. Sometimes I pray, Lord, you know I love you. Not like I ought to. But you know I love you. Oh, that my love for Him would grow. Oh, that my love for Him would be increased. Turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. Where He told His people Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. He said, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge. Keep His guard. That's what the word means. Like you were to guarding a jail or something of that nature. And keep His guard, keep His charge, and His statutes, and His judgments, and His commandments. Always. In other words, obey the Word of God. These words, even charge, statutes, and judgments and commandments, they're just words for describing the Word of God. We're to be obedient. He wants a people that loves Him, and we manifest that love by our obedience to His Word. Look with me at the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. And verse 17 here. He said, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies, and His statutes, which He hath commanded thee. Diligently keeping them. Diligently keeping the Word of God. Do we seek to diligently keep the Word of God? And that doesn't mean we pick up, oh, I like this passage of Scripture really well, I'm going to do this one. No. We seek to diligently keep the whole Word of God. All that we see in the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And no, I'm not going to ask you to quote it tonight. But verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to lay hold of. What is he talking about? Laying hold of what? He's talking about laying hold of being perfect. Let me see if it's one of the preceding verses here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, verse 11, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. See, that's what he's talking about. Now, I'm not perfect in this. I'm not complete. But I'm laying hold of it. I'm pressing for it. Verse 13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I run for. I run to. That's what the word press means. I flee after. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are we running? Are we running towards that goal, towards that goal of perfection, that goal of holiness, which God desires in His children? He desires that in each one of us. He told us, Jesus told us in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. He said, if you love me, do as you please. That's what a lot of Christians have the idea. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and it doesn't matter what I do because my sins are paid for. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my word, obey my word. You see, obeying the word of the Lord, we'll be pressing on. We'll be running for the mark of perfection. We'll be running for the mark of holiness. Now turn with me back to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 36. You say, well, you jump back in several chapters. Yeah. Chapter 36 of Ezekiel. This is the purpose of God. Verse 18. He said, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I have pity for my holy name. But he had pity for his holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified, when I shall be consecrated, when I shall be holy in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What was his purpose back in chapter 14 and verse 11? This very purpose. He starts off in verse 18 by saying, I poured out my fury upon you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people. I'll be your God. Sounds just like verse 11 all over again, doesn't it? I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. In other words, they shall be blessed. They shall have plenty at the hand of God. Chapter 37, and look at verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Just what God said he desired of them. A people that went no more astray. They no longer polluted themselves with their idols. They would be his people, and he would be their God. That's what he desires of you and I tonight. That's what he desires of us, his people that are saved tonight. He desires that we be a people that go no longer astray. That we no longer pollute ourselves. But that we be a holy people as he is holy. Doing that which is honoring and glorifying and acceptable in the sight of God. Well, we close with